Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California. I am your host today. It is beautiful. We've got great weather all week, expecting more. Last Saturday, I went to the ocean and took a couple waves in. It was fabulous. Thank you for the sound check. I love the invitation. I think it's a wonderful idea. Bring ammo while you're coming, so I can pay you when you get here. Our show is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamiliesOfTheYS.com. Please come check it out. We've got a great deal going on. A reunion in Indiana at Delaney Creek Park. We're excited about that. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that thanks. Brian's here. Welcome. Rod's here. Welcome. Hey. Hopefully the sound is great, and hopefully Yo can in. I know Bill's not going to be here. Maybe Ron's hopefully feeling better. Mr. Mikey B is out on a date, so he's on my list. But nonetheless, he promised to catch it in the archive. So we're going to have a good time today. Again, PatriotFamilies.com for that. And, I don't even know where to begin. There's just so much craziness. And also, anybody that wants to call in to listen or talk, it's 646-378-0321. I'm going to go ahead and do that again. 378-0321. I'm not as good as Miss Terry. She can type and talk at the same time. Anyway, welcome everybody. And I know there are people listening on different apps. Sometimes they don't show up in the chat room. They just hit the listen now button from the blast I send out. And sometimes BTR sends out. So, you know, and I do emails to everybody. So hopefully they'll join us. We had a really good service on Sunday, because I've been trying to attend church and get closer to the Lord, because boy, we know we need that. And I like to start the show with some scripture, because it calms me down from the crazy news of the day, and I know it's going to help all of us. So this was my lessons that I got to be taught on Sunday from my church, and this was 2 Corinthians chapter 13, which would be verses 5-14. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? And most of this is about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. Unless indeed you fail to meet the test, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. But we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that was that particular one. Welcome also, FT, and I'm going to do one more because this was very important. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And these are great lessons we all need to have. This is something to live by. I love Matthew and the New Testament. It's just amazing. And a lot of good stuff coming out of Corinthians as well. Okay, I'm going to get into the headlines again. If anyone wants to call in, it's 646-378-0321. And hopefully those who are not attending the funeral in Indy, which is half the world in Indiana, in Bill's clan, apparently they had an uncle pass away, I believe, who was ill for a while, and it was just something that they needed to do today. So we want to pray for them, and we will go on. Here is the headlines from my local paper, because I've got about three or four of them. And I'm telling you guys, this thing on the border is driving me nuts. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. And this, the UT is the Union Tribune of San Diego. So I'm basically... Yeah, Rod, I know. We're not Muslims. Christ was a loving God, is a loving God. So this one's called The Child Migrant Crisis, Subject of Symposium. The subtitle's 90,000 Expected to Reach the U.S. Yes, welcome, FT and Brian and everybody. The influx of unaccompanied children entering the U.S. from Central America via Mexico raises a pressing question. What to do with them now? Well, I have a few plans. It's an acute concern. We have a lot of libtards in California, if you can't tell. It is acute concern given that shelters are overcrowded and the tide isn't slowing. Experts from an array of disciplines who convened Friday at the University of San Diego said another key question should be, what is the long-term solution? Oh, my God, these people are so stupid. The crisis roots are deep, and it's tale will be long, they said. Quote, this is a regional, complex, and multifaceted problem with no quick fix. End quote. M. Ira Summers, a lawyer, there you go, and consultant on children's issues, oh boy, a libtard, wrote in her presentation to the attendees of a day-long campus conference on the subject. Do you see what I go through in California? The event was organized by the university's Transborder Institute. Transborder Institute? Oh, phew. Unaccompanied migrants, and nobody, not there is not one outlet that I've seen lately who has the cojones to call this what it is. This is an illegal alien invasion of our country, and nobody has the you-know-what to talk about it. None of them. Even on Glenn Beck's show today, I was appalled. The woman talking about illegal immigrants. They are not immigrants. They are not coming through the front door. They're invaders. I'm going on. Unaccompanied migrants. Listen, they're not migrants who are younger than 18 when they arrive in the United States aren't eligible for amnesty or eventual citizenship. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol said this week in reminding the public about federal immigration laws. Yeah, well, how weak they are. They're typically sent back to their families abroad or put in long-term foster care. Oh, my God. Arrangements while awaiting deportation. Well, I don't think they're getting deported. They're being shipped now by air and bus and train to Massachusetts and all over the damned United States. Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. California, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey. I mean, this is nuts. This year, an estimated 90,000 such children are expected to reach the United States. The long-term annual average is only 5,000 per year, well, only, according to the U.S. officials. The recent surge has sent U.S. immigration leaders scrambling to shelter and find temporary sponsors for these children, most of whom have sought entry at the Mexican border with Texas because that's the shortest route from Central America. My question is this. Why the hell are they scrambling to shelter these people instead of putting them on a plane and sending them out of here? What is wrong with these people? We live in an upside down. This is nuts. And then the other, on A10, this is where this came from the front page, then there was another one. It says, Obama delaying acting on immigration policy reform. Oh, God. I mean, I'm not going to do this whole article because I got a whole bunch to get to today. It is just mind-boggling. I want to go to our libtard Todd Gloria of the from the UT. This was a few days ago. We've had this debate before, and this is the city council down in San Diego. So here's Todd Gloria, a complete Dem libtard. He reduces proposed minimum wage. He was the one who pushed for this in San Diego, and they had a huge debate. They had it broadcast on local AM radio station a couple days ago. They were voting on whether this is going to be put to the test of the public, on the ballot, whatever. Okay, so this guy was the one who initiated this nonsense anyway. He wanted like $13.09 an hour for the local area for minimum wage. The man is completely a socialist, crazy commie, ignat. San Diego's minimum wage would rise to $11.50 an hour over the next 3 years under, listen to this, a compromise proposal unveiled Monday by the City Council President Todd Gloria. This is the one who's the libtard. That's more than $1.50 lower than the $13.09 per hour local minimum wage Todd proposed in April. Oh, how benevolent of this clown. Todd characterized the modified proposal as a calculated retreat, predicting it would appease business leaders who have condemned efforts to raise the minimum wage as something. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I got news for you, Gloria. You're an idiot. Let's see if I can find the rest of this thing. It's over here. Okay. Would force layoffs and spur inflation, which it would. Brain dead. Schmendrick. This is a common sense compromise. This is a quote. This is a common sense compromise that reduces the potential impact on businesses. Oh my God. While maintaining tremendous benefits for our workers and our economy. This man is dreaming. He is just dreaming. This guy who has spearheaded the efforts to raise the city's minimum wage. Yeah, what we have today is a modest effort to address the needs of working families in San Diego. Oh my God. Hi, Cal. Welcome to the program. Todd Gloria amended proposal was criticized as unaffordable Monday by a new group called the San Diego Small Business Coalition, thank God for them, which said the proposal would still be a 44% hike despite Todd Gloria's retreat. The coalition said the proposal should include exemptions for certain businesses and should address bonus pay and tips. In addition, they predicted the city would have to spend millions hiring investigators to enforce the new minimum pay rate. Employee benefits would be cut, consumer costs will go up, and employers are going to have to try to make it all work. This is Phil Pace, owner of the Phil's Barbecue restaurant chain, which is excellent food, by the way. I've been there. Despite that, Gloria said he was optimistic that much of the local business community would embrace his amended proposal based on several meetings he's had this spring to gather feedback from merchants and industry leaders. I wonder how many of them were stakeholders in his little campaigns and the union people. Oh, I don't know. During those exchanges, I've heard that my proposal brought too much change too fast and that the higher minimum wage would put San Diego at a competitive disadvantage. Oh, my God, end quote. In the first place, there should be no minimum wage. It is price fixing. Read Hayek's Road to Serfdom. This is evil. This is central planning. It's really disgusting. I think I have either Bill or Leah, but I'm going to find out who. Let's bring them in. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing fine. I'm at a funeral home in Indianapolis right now, and I'm standing outside.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. I talked about that, and I did remember, and I told the kids, I says, well, we don't have Bill in here because the kids are all up in Indy, and they're doing the funeral for, it was your uncle, I believe?
Yes, Jack Burke. We're gathering here, and they'll be hauling to Tennessee tomorrow.
Okay, sweetie. You can stay on the line as long as you're allowed to. I don't know what you have to do, but we're just going through the wage hikes for the minimum wage in San Diego. That's what I was trying to talk about today. Because, you know, I don't even want to continue with this because I have so much to get to and I got 45 minutes, but I'm so glad you're here because I am going to nail some stuff on Agenda 21 today, and I'm going to talk about where this started, huh?
Well, you go right ahead.
So as long as you guys can hang on, that will be amazing. Here's part of the Agenda 21 nonsense in my local paper, and this is downtown San Diego, which is about 45 minutes away from me with no traffic when I just head down, right? So it says full block mixed use project coming to downtown, and we know what that's sustainable development jargon, and so this is all Agenda 21. And it says, you can't believe this, two 32-story towers on Eastern Broadway. This is right smack in the middle of it. I mean, I've been down there. It's crazy. A $250 million full-block development announced Tuesday could dramatically remake the eastern side of downtown San Diego's Broadway corridor. Do you think? With two 32-story towers, the hotel residential retail project, see, this is a mixed-use garbage, by a locally-based Zephyr Partners, I got to look those guys up, would be located in an area that has seen little improvement since downtown revitalization began 40 years ago. So this is all part of what they're doing. And I want to get to this information that I received from a guy that I had talked to. I don't see Bill anymore, but hopefully they can call back later. Anybody who else wants to call in, please call in 646-378-0321. I'm going to get to this stuff. This was sent to me by a gentleman named Hal, and he's in Massachusetts. I believe there was, I can't remember whether he was living in Rhode Island, but whatever it was, he got in one of his cities, Ickley kicked out and Agenda 21 kicked out. And I'm just going, he gave me all the stuff that I actually kind of knew about, but it's nice to see in print. So this one is, It is from the John Birch Society. Now, I have seen a lot of people who are involved with the John Birch Society who are going out on tour in this country talking against Common Core and explaining how evil it is. So I'm kind of, you know, thinking that these people aren't so bad. We all have to, you know, make sure that we research people and research the truth. But these guys are dead on because they're in alliance with Tom DeWeese and Rosa Curry, and I've seen these guys, and I'm going to be talking to Hal again via email and helping the other kids get all this information. So give them his address so they can get the items as well. This is called Back to Basics. America's founders gave us a constitutional republic. Because of them, we were born free. Well, because of God, we were born free, but nevertheless, we could die as slaves because we have, as a people, lost sight of basic truths. Number one, freedom cannot exist without morality. The phrase, immoral free men, makes no more sense than dry water. Unless we have sufficient character and moral fortitude, we will not be able to govern ourselves. When morality declines, the abuse of rights increases and more government is necessary. Just as criminals need jailers and domesticated animals need herdsmen, an immoral citizenry needs a police state. If we ever abandon our morality and adopt instead the law of the jungle, we will lose our freedom. Two, ignorant and free can never be. In order to be capable of self-government, we must not only be moral, but informed. If we are not informed, we will tend to vote for the politician who promises the most. We will vote for more and bigger government until one day we have total government, which is totalitarianism, and I don't even want to think about it. There are several states that are throwing it out. I'm not sure the exact number right now, Rod, but every day more come to do getting rid of Common Core. An uninformed electorate, whether moral or immoral, will vote itself into slavery. Only a moral, well-informed electorate will vote for people of principle, those who will limit the government to its proper role. Number three, our rights come from God. When God created man, he gave certain inalienable rights because rights existed prior to men joining together to form governments. The purpose of government is only to protect these rights. Absolutely. The purpose cannot be to grant us rights that we already have. nor can it be to legislate out of existence rights that are inalienable. In other words, that stupid government does not hand them out, and they are not privileges handed out by some totalitarian big statist. Our form of government is based on this fundamental truth. If we ever abandon it, we will lose our form of government, our republic. 4. The essence of freedom is the limitation of government. That's what Thomas Jefferson talked about. Because men are not angels, some government is necessary to secure our God-given rights, to protect them. Because government officials are men, the powers of government must be strictly limited and constantly held on check. I'm going to go off topic for a second. I saw a video, I think it was like a full two-hour video, of a man who was talking about Common Core, and he was hitting on this. He says, every time you defeat them, they're going to come back 5 to 6 months later, and they're going to change the name, and they're going to come hammer it at you again. They're going to try to get it down your throats. They did it in Texas. They had C-Scope, and then they changed the name to Common Core, and then they changed it back again. So you have to, every 5 weeks or 5 months, you have to make sure that you're vigilant and squash the bugs that they are every time they change their names and rear their ugly heads. The U.S. Constitution limits the powers of the federal government. Nonetheless, much that the federal government does today is unconstitutional. We have allowed this abuse of authority to occur because we have forgotten basic truths. We will preserve our freedom for future generations only if we recall the wisdom of the founders and get back to basics. A government of laws or of men. Because men created governments and not vice versa, the rights of government are based on the God-given rights of the individual. This is where individual freedom and individual responsibility come in, ladies and gentlemen. An individual has the right to defend his life, liberty, and property. And I love that they changed it back to property here in this one. Therefore, he also has the right to join with others and form a government to protect these rights. An individual does not have the right to violate the rights of another, and neither does the government. Government should be large enough to secure our God-given rights, but not large enough to violate these rights. Anyone who understands this comprehends the proper role of government. If there were no government whatsoever, our rights would be not secure. Individuals acting alone would be unable to protect their liberty against criminal acts of unjust men, like marauders and criminals and thieves. In the absence of any organized government, anarchy would prevail, which is complete chaos. Ultimately, the criminals would take control and enslave their fellow citizens. Our rights would also not be secure under a system of total government control or totalitarianism, a monarchy, or a dictatorship. Such a government might grant its citizens privileges from time to time, but it could also take away those privileges on a whim. Whenever government has total power, individuals have none. Remember, the root of the word totalitarian is total. It's true. Communism and Nazism are not at opposite ends of the political spectrum, as the public has been led to believe. They are ideological twins. Both are totalitarian, and both are examples of 100% governmental control. Our rights can only be secure under limited government. Liberty is a way station between anarchy, which is no government, on one end of the political spectrum, and totalitarianism, total government, on the other end, which is true. If you've ever read the 5,000-year leap, you know that. Preserving liberty for ourselves and future generations is not easy. As George Washington warned, quote, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master, end quote. The founders realized that the government, like fire, had to be contained, and so they gave us a government of laws, not of men. These wise men created a republic and not a democracy. A democracy is majority rule and is destructive of liberty because there is no law to prevent the majority from trampling on individual rights. Whatever the majority says goes. A lynch mob is a good example of pure democracy in action. There is only one dissenting vote, and that is cast by the person at the end of the rope. But a republic is a government of law under constitution. The Constitution holds the government in check and prevents the majority, acting through their government, from violating the rights of the individual. Under this system of government, a lynch mob is illegal. Amen to that one. The suspected criminal cannot be denied his right to a fair trial, even if the majority of citizenry demands otherwise. We will either be governed by laws or ruled by men. Because of man's nature, rule by men has always ended in tyranny. Only under a government of laws will our God-given rights be secure. The question on this next page is, have you been deceived? Question, when the founders established our government, they gave us A, democracy, or B, a republic. The question is basic, and the correct answer should be known to every school child. Nevertheless, if you have been led to believe that our country is a democracy, you have been deceived. Not only did our founders establish a republic, they greatly feared democracy. James Madison, known as the father of the U.S. Constitution, wrote in essay number 10 of the Federalist Papers, democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Although such an attitude will surprise most Americans, it is quite accurate. The United States Constitution does not contain the word democracy, neither does the Declaration of Independence. I looked for it. It does guarantee to every state, in this is Article 4, Section 4, this is correct, every state in this union a republican form of government. When we recite the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, we say to the republic for which it stands, not to the democracy. The difference between a republic and a democracy was once widely understood in America. The U.S. War Department, now the Department of Defense, taught that difference in a training manual published in November of 1928. This official U.S. government document used at the time for training of an American military personnel said this of democracy, a government of the masses, authority derived through mass meeting or any other form of direct expression, results in mobocracy. Attitude toward property is communistic, negating property rights. Attitude towards law is the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it be based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, and impulse without restraint or regard to consequences. Result in demagogism, license, agitation, and discontent and anarchy. It went on to state, our constitutional fathers, familiar with the strength and weaknesses of both autocracy and democracy, with fixed principles definitely in mind, defined a representative republican form of government. They made a very marked distinction between a republic and a democracy and said repeatedly and emphatically that they had founded a republic. If you have been misled as to the type of government were given by the founders, you should ask why. The next question, is it constitutional? The United States of America is a constitutional republic consisting of the federal government and the state governments. It is not a democracy. The federal government operates under specific powers delegated to it by the United States Constitution, while each of the state governments operates under a state constitution. The United States Congress is not authorized to make any law it chooses. It is bound by this constitutional mandate. For instance, the First Amendment states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And the Tenth Amendment speaks out more clearly, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The Constitution authorizes federal government to protect our God-given rights and to provide for the common defense, which would be like our military common defense. Nowhere does it authorize the federal government to provide foreign aid handouts, unemployment benefits, subsidizing housing, food stamps, agricultural price supports, or any other share-the-wealth schemes. Tragically, much of the legislation that Congress passes is unconstitutional. This abuse of authority has occurred because we have lost sight of basic principles. Your congressman has taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Whenever a new bill comes up for vote, he should ask himself, is it constitutional? If it is unconstitutional, he should vote against it. If he does not vote against an unconstitutional legislation, you should ask him why. So that is what I have learned partly from these tomes that have been given to me. I want to go a little bit back in history because I had talked about what's started this downward spiral as we're looking at today, where we don't recognize our country. There are so many things with the illegals in the, on the border. What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in D.C.? What Harry Reid does, he's completely destroying trade laws, what is it, patent laws, by telling these, Harry Reid, like I said 6 months ago, he should have been in a straitjacket inside of a rubber room a long time ago. And they're still listening to this schmuck. And then the stupid idiot, feckless Congress just votes the wrong way every single time, and they've decided that the Redskins, because of Barry and his idiotic ideology, that they're offending people. I'd like to offend. The only person that's offending anybody, the ones, is Harry Reid and Barry. They're offensive to the entire globe. I'm so sick of them. Anyway, I wanted to go back to find out where all of this started, and I think part of it went back to 1861. And the chapter 6 was Lincoln, a Dictator, from The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. This is really good, guys, because let's see if I can get this one. This was I can't remember when it was written, but this was a quote from Clinton Rossiter from Constitutional Dictatorship. Dictatorship played a decisive role in the North's successful effort to maintain the Union by force of arms. One man was the government of the United States. Lincoln was a great dictator. This great constitutional dictator was self-appointed. This is an order from Abraham Lincoln to General John Dix, May 18th, 1864. Hey, Doc, welcome to the show. This is a quote. You will take possession by military force of the printing establishments of the New York World and Journal of Commerce and prohibit any further publication thereof. You are therefore commanded forthwith to arrest and imprison the editors, proprietors, and publishers of aforesaid newspapers. And this is this other part of this chapter. I wish I could read the whole thing because it is absolutely astounding. The founding fathers were so protective of the strict constitution of the construction of the Constitution that President James Madison vetoed a $1.5 million internal improvements appropriation because such expenditures were not explicitly mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson was not opposed to internal improvement expenditures, but he argued that the Constitution should be amended if they were to be permitted through the amendment process, you know, the one that was originally put in. Now, he also believed that allowing a state or states to secede would be an exemplary act that would illustrate the devotion the nation maintained to the First Amendment guarantee of free speech, which is an act of free speech. So here, and I'm going to go on to this next portion. It said, all of these events illustrate the devotion that the founding general our generation had to constitutional liberty, even when facing the very real threat of disunion. Not so with Abraham Lincoln. Even though the large majority of Americans, North and South, believed in a right of secession as of 1861, upon taking office, Lincoln implemented a series of unconstitutional acts, including launching an invasion of the South without consulting Congress. So there was no act of war declared by Congress, which is supposed to be what it is, as required by the Constitution. And he declared martial law, blockading the southern ports, suspending the writ of habeas corpus, this is the big one, for the duration of his administration, imprisoning without trial thousands of northern citizens, arresting and imprisoning newspaper publishers who were critical of him, censoring all telegraph communication, nationalizing the railroads. This is another biggie. Creating several new states without the consent of the citizens of those states. Ordering federal troops to interfere with elections in the North by intimidating Democratic voters. See, Lincoln was a Republican. Now, let's just keep that in mind. Deporting a number of Congress, Clement L. Vallandigham of Ohio for criticizing the administration's income tax proposal at a Democrat Party rally, confiscating private property, confiscating firearms in violation of the Second Amendment, and effectively gutting the 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution, among other things. I mean, this was huge. Hey, Holger, there's a quote here. It says, "This amazing disregard for the Constitution," wrote historian Clinton Rossiter, "was considered by nobody as legal. Rossiter generally praised Lincoln, however, as a great dictator and a true Democrat, two phrases that are not normally considered to be consistent with one another. Having suspended habeas corpus, Lincoln ordered the arrest and imprisonment of virtually anyone who disagreed with his views, views that were new, radical, and not yet subject to any debate by the people's representatives in Congress or by the judiciary. In retrospect, no man who had the least bit of respect for constitutional liberty could have done such things. It would have been simply unthinkable to Jefferson or Madison or Washington. Lincoln rationalized this suspension of constitutional liberties, at least in his own mind, with the rhetorical tool of falsely equating the Constitution with the Union. But the Constitution makes no mention of any perpetual union." Not at all. And one of the most distinguished constitutional scholars for the first half of the 19th century, William Rawl, forcefully argued that the Constitution contained an implicit recognition of the right of secession. That was certainly the belief of most Americans at the time. In the end, it was Lincoln's willingness to use brute military force, not his legal reasoning or his rhetorical talents, that allowed him to get away with such a radical assault on constitutional liberties. Historians have long referred to Lincoln as a dictator, but they usually refer to him as a good or even great dictator, as Clinton Rossiter had done. In 1900, James Ford Rhodes, who was quite worshipful of Lincoln, wrote that never had the power of a dictator fallen into safer and nobler hands. Oh, great. If Lincoln was a dictator, it must be admitted that he was a benevolent dictator, declared James G. Randall. However, I'm just going to go quickly through some of this stuff. He did suspend the writ of habeas corpus throughout the entire thing. He was declaring war without any authorization from Congress. He was routing out and every single one of them, the press, as it talks about suppression of free elections. He was intimidating people. They had colored ballots, and if you had the wrong colored ballot, you were not allowed to vote. I mean, this was going on. This was 1861 and then throughout the Civil War. And do you think you want to know when the fall of the Republic hit? And he paved the way by gutting the 9th and 10th Amendments way back then. This is when it started. And he called these Jefferson talks. It's called internal improvement expenditures. Yeah, taxation without representation and subsidizing, you know, whatever they feel like it. That is where this comes from. Ladies and gentlemen, it's crazy. I do definitely want, I got 20 minutes left. Please call in 646-378-0321. I'll go ahead and do it here. 646-378-0321. Please call with your thoughts on what I've talked about. Anyone, Cal, Doc, Holger, Brian, there's so much stuff going on here. I wanted to go through with the Agenda 21 stuff because it's so important. If you guys don't know what this is, I know many of you here do, but this is what happens when you allow these people to continue and the paving of the way where the states have been homogenized and the borders literally gutted and the states' rights gutted by Lincoln. Thank you. In fact, if you read this book, you'll want to dig him up and put him back in the Ford Theater and shoot him all by yourself, which is what I think about much. Agenda 21 leaves no stone unturned and no person outside of its reach. In order to accomplish its goals of a sustainable development and to make you into a so-called steward of the environment, Agenda 21 seeks to control you and your life. Once implemented, Agenda 21 will affect you in the following ways: eliminating your right to private ownership and private property rights, forbidding you from entering woodland and wetland areas, punishing you with higher prices at the store, restricting your civil liberties, restricting the number of children you can have, restricting the amount of trash or waste you can dispose of, restricting the amount of water you can use, telling you how much to harvest on your farm or land, forcing you to participate in community projects. Yeah, not surprised. That sounds like a Barry deal. Welcome, 812. Is that Leah?
That's me. Yes. Sorry I'm late.
No problem. You can catch the first part in archives, but I'm glad you're here. The last part one was diminishing your individual rights in favor of community rights. Let's see, who else did that? Oh, yeah. Joseph Stalin did that one. The last point mentioned above, diminishing your individual rights in favor of community rights, takes us to individualism versus communitarianism. And it goes on. What is communitarianism? Not too dissimilar from communism, which is founded on the premise of the dictatorship of the proletariat or working class. Communitarianism is founded on the belief of the dictatorship or supremacy of the community. As a result of this supremacy, the individual is subservient to the needs of the greater good of society. That sounds like Karl Marx. Yes, it does. Examples of communitarian societies include Belarus, Burma, and the People's Republic of China, North Korea, and Venezuela, all places I want to stay away from. In these states, individuals are subordinate to the dictatorship of the community. Yes, they are. Civil liberties are curtailed, and property rights are virtually non-existent. All things belong to and are done for the greater good of the state under communitarianism, which is very similar to the communist state of old Russia, any of this stuff. Communitarianism is the central core ideology of Agenda 21 and sustainable development. Your wants, your needs will come second to the needs to the community. Likewise, the wants and needs of your community will come second to the needs of the global community, i.e. the United Nations, by the way of the Agenda 21 program. And then we go on to smart growth, and they actually connect this. Population control is right in there. That's Bill Gates and his stupid Common Core nonsense. So, Leah, what do you think so far? And all this stuff, I'm going to take these with me, but these come to me from the John Birch Society. I know there's people that have problems with that, but I want to read this
I think it's something that definitely needs to be, you know, we have to get these things out there. I mean, like I said, people are starting to open their eyes, and I think the more that we put out there, the more they're going to realize, because now that they're opening their eyes, things are starting to make sense.
Yes, and
you know,
the other thing
maybe
too
not
was,
completely, but they're trying to make it make
there
sense.
There was two or three instances where we found, in fact, there was one locally here not too long ago when they first started the surge on the border, and I got wind of it through Jeff Schwilk, a guy here that's has been fighting illegal immigration since day one. And he put out a whole thing, I think it was throughout the community, and people were calling, and we actually got it stopped for a time. They were going to dump, like, I think 500 illegals from Honduras or Guatemala or Central America right here in a little bit northeast of me in Murrieta. And we, by the consistent calling, when you get large numbers and you just keep flooding the lines, they have to pay attention. And there was two instances on Beck's show where they actually stopped certain things. They put a stop to stuff by flooding the phone lines, and they're forced to change their ways. Again, you have to stay on it, because every 5 weeks or 5 months, they'll come back like the cockroaches they are and change their name, and they'll do it again, and they'll try to force stuff down our throats. So this is it says, kick ICLEI out of Boston or your town. ICLEI is a United Nations sponsor group which designs and writes policy for Boston on land use or any city, energy goals, and measurement and water usage. ICLEI was formed after the government officials from the United States and 178 other nations met at Rio Earth Summit in 1992. But they were actually, this company was 2 years prior. It was 1990 in Bonn, Germany that they formed, and then they collided with the UN summit, Real Earth Summit, the UN Agenda 21 people, and agreed to use certain principles as their guidelines. Those guidelines include major reduction in energy and water use and huge increases in the number of living units in city centers. Stack them and pack them. This is everywhere. It's called UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. In 1993, President Clinton formed the President's Council on Sustainable Development and gave $1 million grant to the American Planning Association to write a legislative guidebook on planning. Smart growth was the result. Multi-story condos or apartments over small retail shops with little parking was one of the goals. Oh, they've done it here in San Diego. The reason for this style of construction is that a former UN official, Marie Strong, stated, the affluence of Americans is a threat to the planet. These guys love to lie. They're doing this is one of the quotes, though, I have to say, and I think it was Alexander King, same club that Marie Strong belongs to and Ted Turney, the Club of Rome. All these guys are Gaia worshippers, Temple of Understanding, you know, Mother Earth, Blavatsky. They're all crazy. Okay. This is, you know, they're all secular humanists. Alexander King stated that we must have this universal thing that unites us, and we'll just say we're doing it to save the planet and use environmentalism to get them on board. And that's exactly what they've done. So don't tell me about their, you know, we're a threat to the planet. Tell you about you, Maurice. You're a threat to freedom. Okay, Mr. Strong has never considered his jet-set lifestyle in multiple homes a threat to the planet, however. That was an editorial on this guy's part. Italy is using greenhouse gas emissions goals to control where and how you live and what you eat, what your children learn, and what that's common core, and what ordinances your city will pass. Under the cover of environmental concern, yeah, the green monster wagon, I call it, your personal rights are being restricted. If we are not successful, you will lose the right to travel freely without being asked for your ID. You lose the right to water your garden, lose the right to refuse a smart meter on your water or electrical, lose the right to live in a rural area, lose the right to drive a private vehicle. Yes, this is one of their goals. Under the guise of sustainable development, your rights are being eliminated. And I'm telling you, that's it in a nutshell. What I need to do is take this one and just copy it and give it to every, you know, at the city council, because I need to speak to these people. This is highly important, people. Nobody realizes how bad this is. They just don't. I've come up with so many different speeches. I've done my three-minute speeches. You can't do a three-minute speech in front of city council and get this across to people. However, what I really need to do if I want to be effective is to have five folks, one right after the other, talk to my city clerk, and I know him personally. His name's Zach. I voted for him. And he's pretty cool. He'll do it if we ask him. And just say, okay, here's our cards. Put these in order so that one after the other, and everybody be prepared to speak on the subject, you know what I mean, and have their notes, so it would be one seamless conversation that we could have, or presentation
right,
that we could have.
Right, because that's going to open people's eyes, because it's opening their ears. So then their eyes are going to be open, exactly.
But if five of us have 3 minutes, that's 15 minutes, which would be perfect for, I mean, they did. Rosa Corey did the 15-minute, I think it was, video on Agenda 21 for Dummies. That one, it hits home. Although, doing what I'm thinking of doing and getting this done in that manner, and doing some of the stuff that I've just read here, and the other things that I have in my giant file that I will be showing you guys in Delaney, it would be quite effective. So again, all I can do is do what I can. I can't. I'm only one person, and I just keep going forward, keep learning, and keep talking to people, and going on the air, and reading my history books. I don't know if you heard any of the Lincoln one. Did you hear any of that?
No, I didn't get to hear any of that.
Okay. This book, I highly recommend it if you want to know exactly what a dictatorship looks like inside the United States, because Lincoln did it. I mean, just the parts, I'm almost completely halfway through. It's just astounding. Imprisoning newspaper editors, shutting down newspapers, completely suspending the writ of habeas corpus for his entire term. Oh, this guy was rotten. He destroyed many things. He was, in some instances, destroying the first, second, and the third. He got the third where they're harboring, soldiers in people's houses. He declared civil war without Congress. I mean, just, it's crazy. Denying them the right of secession, intimidating voters to the point of not arrest, but just denying them the right to vote. at the polling places all over the United, all over the states as they were. Unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
Oh yeah. You've got to check the first part of this when you get a minute. But, again, if you guys want to call
it again,
it's called The Real Lincoln. I got turned on to it by
okay.
Ron Golden. Go to Amazon, The Real, and by Thomas DiLorenzo, you'll get it. So, it'll come up. Fabulous book. It's a paperback. It's not very long. It's just that I've been kind of, you know,
busy
reading. I've got Control by Glenn Beck. I've got all these pamphlets coming in. tried to juggle it all, you know, and just keeping abreast of it. I mean, I've been reading so much and pulling it all together and trying to get everything ready for the show and, you know, do my grocery shopping and stuff like that. Take care of my mom. So, again, I'm so glad that you guys are here today, and we're going to get together in Delaney. And if there's anything that you heard on the news today that you're upset about, I did hear some of the nonsense from Hildebeest, although the one thing that she did say was that she wanted Tamarisi to be released, which I agree with her on that. That's the Marine that's down in Mexico. It's been about 79 days at least now. So,
yeah, I mean,
but the rest,
in my opinion, I mean, that's who we needed to be worrying about to begin with. I mean, and I'm not saying the other thing that we shouldn't have worried about our other soldiers. I'm not saying that at all, but come on, people. Really?
There's so much.
Yeah,
I mean,
there is a lot going on. I mean, there really is. I tried to watch bits and pieces of the news today, but, you know, with in and out, it's
sure.
hard to get grasp of it. A good thing that I heard was a teacher was, you know, there is a teacher out there that's kind of fighting for her rights. So, you know, I did get to watch that on there, and I was proud of her.
Sure.
You know, I was really, really happy for her. I'm glad to know, which it wasn't really over what we cover or anything, but it's
right.
leading to it, you know.
Sure.
So
there's so much going on with what I'm seeing now. I'm seeing the in print, the coalition and the connection between Agenda 21 and Common Core, that this is all part of it. And I do believe that what Barry's doing on the border and allowing this nonsense to continue is part of it. The economic collapse, everything that's going on in the Middle East, the foreign aid policy. I mean, it's all part of this Agenda 21 from the United Nations. And the other thing that he did, I think it was yesterday, and I set my teeth on fire, dealing with, he wants to control the oceans now. You've heard this. He wants to control all the fishing in the certain areas. I think it's between Hawaii and God knows where else. I mean, it's like your head will explode. He leaves no stone unturned because he's being ruled by the UN and these his Muslim Brotherhood and his communist people and the global elites and the Valerie Jarretts and the Maurice Strongs and the God only knows who the hell else and all his czars who are just absolute just the scum of the earth, the worst things that could drag out from under a slimy rock are in his cabinet and in his czars. I mean, people like Van Jones, people like Ron Blum, people like Kevin Jennings, every single one, everything that he, all of them, they're just disgusting. I wouldn't want to be within 10 feet or 10 yards of them, seriously, without a giant Raid can or disinfectant or bleach, something, holy water, God. I mean, they are just the scum of the earth, and he is too. I don't know where the hell he was spawned, and I don't care. I just want him gone. I don't care how they get rid. I don't care how they get him out of there. He can go in a body bag. I don't care. And you know what? DHS, NSA, I'm sick of him. I can't. I just. It's beyond. He's evil.
He's beyond evil. I mean, there is evil. Right. There's evil, and then there is just something you can't even explain. And he is
he's just
even explain.
Yeah, there's not enough words for that kind of freakishness. And everything he touched turns to merde. Thank God for the French language, because that's him. I'm sorry.
I agree.
You know, it's the truth. Well, I'm excited. I'm so glad Doc was here. Holger, Rod, FT, you, K, Cal is signed out. Yo couldn't get in. Bill, of course, is at a funeral, and I'm glad you got to call. He called for a second, but he either lost his signal or something, or had to do all these things. And Rod says, say goodnight to Leah for him, and he's in the chat room, and we're all excited. No, it's Rod Luke, R-O-D.
Do you know when flyers are coming? Do you know when flyers, and the only reason I'm asking is because I have some places I can put them, different places that I know there are bulletin boards that people actually stop and read, the people that we want to have stop and read. Do you know when we're going to do flyers? Is that something I need to get with Bill with? Because I can make flyers. If I need to, I can get on the computer and sit down and make some flyers. I just need someone to tell me what they would like me to put on there.
Okay, talk to Bill and Chad, because I think they're coordinating all this stuff for Delaney. Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, to get
because
as many
I mean,
folks
I know the days. Right, I know
Got
the
it.
Dates, and I know generally what it consists of, but I don't know, you know, I know that there's more stuff that I'm sure that we would like to put on there that I would be more than willing to put on there. Just different things, but like I said, I know places where I could put them. I know people that I could hand them to that they can put them in different places, and I really think that it's a good thing because I think the more people we tell, the more people that know about
so
it. Even if people could only stop in for a couple of hours, grab their attention that day, and they might come back for a couple of more, talk to people. You know, it's just something that we really need to get out there, and I've really been talking to people that's my age, definitely. So,
okay, and I'll stay on the line because we're just going to play some music, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Doc, FT, Holger. Thank you so much, Holger. I appreciate your adherence to the show here. And if you missed anything, go back to the archives. I'm only on for an hour, so it's not too burdensome. And I do want to say we are going to be in Delaney, Indiana. We're going to have a blast July 13th through the 20th, and it's going to be super neat. I'm going to play a little music. I'm going to say God bless. Thank you so much, Doc. Play a little music and take us out, and God bless everybody, and see everybody for Mikey B's show tomorrow. I think it's 9 p.m. Eastern on BTR, and also 6 p.m. Eastern for Terry Rowland. She's going to do education, Patriot Education, and we love her. She's a great teacher and wonderful person. And you guys, let's take it out with Living in America. Thank you guys so much. See you tomorrow night. Leah, it's been a pleasure. Also, when we meet, we're going to have a ball. I'm so excited to meet you, Delaney.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Have a good one, Doc, FT. Great one. Be blessed. See you all later. Okay. Good night, hon.
Good night. God bless everybody.
God bless.